Well, we've been talking about first things first, and that being blessed of God is a choice, is something that He desires, is something that His Word promises, but we have to be in a place to receive it. And I want you to be in a place to receive His love and His goodness. So we've been talking about the principle of first things first. The first thing given is never lost. The first thing not given is always lost. The first things belong to God. And as we give the first part, we trust Him to take the other 90% and redeem it and put His blessing and add His life to it. And this requires faith, because the harvest, the blessing, the increase all happens after we step out in faith. And that's the difficult part, because faith is believing in something you don't see. We believe in Him, we believe His Word, and as we act on that and we trust in Him, then these things are manifested in our lives. So we've been talking about tithing and giving the first fruits. Turn over to Malachi 3 and we'll read that once again. Today I want to talk about three levels of giving. Two of them you've probably heard of, and maybe the third one you may know about, you may not. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, and encourage you to get the last two messages, either download them from the website or get the CD, but there are definitely messages you need to hear and listen over and over, get it in your heart. But Malachi 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? I don't know about you, but I don't want to rob God. Yet you have robbed me. Well, how have we robbed God? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. And again, what a curse is, having something without God's blessing on it. A curse is not having God's life. A blessing is having the life of God and God involved in it. The curse is not having God involved. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there'll not be room enough to receive it. So the first level of giving is the tithe. The tithe is the tenth. It's 10%. It's the first part. It belongs to Him. It's really not even a choice in the matter. It's, you know, it belongs to God. That tree in the garden was God's, dedicated to Him. So the first part is His. And if we'll get in the habit, not just every once in a while, get in the habit of bringing that tenth and doing and making it the first priority, you'll just see that other 90% go so much further. You'll see so many good things in your life. I got this testimony this week, and I want to share that as we... And this is all really I'm going to say about tithing today, but I'll just share this testimony. You can get the last two messages. This is from Tammy Tinker. Raise your hand, Tammy. We love Tammy. I hope you know your love today. Okay. Tammy had told me this after a service once a couple Sundays back, and I asked her to write it down, and she did. It says, I am a tither, but somewhere along the way, I stopped giving the whole tenth. I knew what I should do, but I kept pushing it out of my mind and ignored the conviction of the Holy Spirit. On August 8th, I heard Pastor Matt teach from Malachi chapter 3. I know this scripture could even quote it from memory, but as he read it from the Amplified Version, bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, I made a decision to trust God to start giving the whole tenth again. I mean, how many know you can kind of let revelation slip? Even things you've known since you've been young, it's just easy to do. It's so easy to happen. The following day was payday, and I could hardly wait for Sunday. I love that. Sunday came, and I gave my tithe, the whole tenth. I had been looking for a house, and as I gave my tithe that day, I prayed. I prayed for the right agent, the right mortgage company, the right price, the right neighborhood, and the mortgage payment I could afford. In October, the day was drawing near to close on the house, and I feared not having the amount needed for closing costs. Because of fear, I was tempted again not to tithe. Have you ever been there? You've been tempted not to tithe. But how could I say I trust God in all other areas of my life and not trust Him to take care of me financially? This time, I gave my tithe. I prayed that I would not only have enough to pay the closing costs, but I would have money left over. And then she goes on to share how God blessed her in astonishing ways. And she attributes to tithing. Her closing cost, the day of the closing, was reduced by $1,200. Now, how many know that's a good thing? The mortgage payment ended up being only $5 more than what she was paying for rent. So she's in a house that she wants to be, a neighborhood she wants to be in, paying $5 more in rent. Then the credit bureau cleared her credit of a past debt of $2,400. She says, I'm thankful for the teaching of our pastors, the encouragement of my family, and for my wonderful Heavenly Father. The dream of owning a home, which had laid dormant for many years, has now been realized. And we got a lot of those testimonies. I've got a lot. I could pick the whole service and share those myself. But we have a lot of testimonies like that. He is just so good. He is so good. And He's just looking for some people to trust Him. Put Him to the test. And it just seems crazy that good things are going to happen in my life because I bring this, you know, my tithes. And again, it's so much more than financial. It's just in so many areas of our lives. So that's the first level, is bringing the tenth. The second, and it was mentioned in Malachi 3 here, the second level of giving is offerings. And what an offering is over and above the tithe. So the tithe is 10%. So anything above that is, the scriptures would call that an offering. And he says that we were robbing him by not bringing our tithes and offerings. Now, I could make you a really good case for bringing your tithe to the local church, but I'm not going to make that case today. That's something we can talk about another day. But when you start getting into offerings, that's when the fun really starts. Did you hear what I said? That's when the fun really starts. And again, tithing is full of joy and full of good things. But I tell you, when you start getting into offerings, I mean, it just gets exciting. Life just gets exciting. Because then you have, you know, opportunity to bless guest ministers and various ministers that we partner with. You get to bless other people in the body of Christ. You can give to the poor. You can feed the hungry. I mean, just so many things that you can do. And offering time, and again, that's not the only time we give, but offering time gets exciting because you know that you, when you're making that offering, giving that gift, you're starting the process of what's called seed time and harvest. And it is more blessed to give than receive. And even now, I'm not even thinking about really harvest when I'm giving. I know that it comes, and I know the Word promises me, but I'm just have gotten so excited about blessing people. I've gotten so, you know, where the Bible talks about how Jesus went about doing good. That word good means benevolent, philanthropic. Just going about being a blessing wherever you go. And every day can be an exciting day. And again, also sowing seeds is not just financial seeds. How many know the law of seed time and harvest works in every area of our life? I sow forgiveness. I sow mercy. I sow grace. I sow love. Now, let's just look over in Luke 6:38. It's a verse we've heard many times. But I learned this the other day about some things in this verse, and I want to share them with you. Because this is just how God is. This is how God multiplies things back to us. Luke verse 6:38 says this, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What's he talking about here? Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Well, according to Hebrew tradition, during harvest time, the corners of the field were to be given to the poor. So they had the middle farmers, which were the hourly laborers. They gathered up everything in the middle, but everything on the edges were to be left for the poor. And the middle farmers, they would have their baskets or whatever they were using, and they would fill them up and just fill it up to the top, and then go take it to the barn, go take it to the wagon, and they're just kind of going about their business. They're paid by the hour, so they're just doing what they have to do to get through the day, to get their paycheck. Can you see that? But you have the guys on the edges. Now, these are folks maybe living several miles away. And what they're gathering is not only for themselves, but they're gathering for their families. And so they only have enough to, I mean, I don't know how many baskets they can carry. They may have a wagon. They may not have anything to carry. They probably just have themselves and what they can carry. So their basket's going to be a little different than the middle farmer basket. So what they're going to do is they're going to get their basket and they're going to put a good measure in there. Then what they're going to do is they're going to press it down. Right? Press it down. Put some more on there. Press it down. And then after they press it down as much as they can do, what are they going to do? They're going to shake it. Get all the air out of there. So can you see how much more they have in their basket than the other guy that's kind of going through the motions? They've got all that in there. And then they top it off. And I got a great example of topping it off when I was at the driving range. Went to the driving range with Harry and Grayson one day. And you know, they have the large bucket and medium and small bucket. And so I got Grayson the large bucket. And so I got my bucket. And, you know, I just kind of threw some golf balls in there. Grayson got his bucket. And it was fun to watch Grayson get his bucket because he arranged every golf ball to get the maximum amount. He wanted his bucket. I don't even know how it all worked. It was like a an ice cream cone. The way he had them all. It was abundance. He had an abundance of golf balls. And God, that's the way God is. He doesn't just give you a nice little basket. He gives you an overflowing, maximized return. And just so you know, you are never going to outgive God. And so that's why we can give fearlessly. And again, and it's not just finances. Finances is just really, it's a low level. It's kind of a starting place in some ways, but it's a low level. There's just so many things. And if you would live your life in a generous way. And I was thinking about, someone was asking me last week about the blessing. What does it mean that the blessing is on you? And I was thinking about that. And I talked about from Malachi 3, you know, how the windows of heaven are open, pouring out blessings. We don't have room enough to contain. And talked about some of the blessings he's pouring out. He's, you know, it's not money on trees, but he's pouring out favor and opportunities and the power to get wealth and, you know, wisdom and all these different things that he pours out. And those are intangible things that lead to tangible things. But, you know, I just started thinking about that, and I started thinking about Abraham, and I thought about the covenant that he had with him. He said he would be blessed to be a blessing. I think a big part of that blessing, and this is something else he's pouring out of heaven, in that blessing is generosity. In that blessing is God's heart and the way God sees things. And as we grow in this blessing that's on us, We begin to act like Him and do things that He would do, and we become a blessing to others. And you know, really, I think that's really what the abundant life is. Jesus was our example, and He gave the ultimate. He gave His life. And so this is the second part, the offering. And again, and let me read this Luke 6:37 from the Message translation. It says, "Don't pick on people." Anybody you picking on people? Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures, criticize their faults. I feel sorry for you if you're just one of those guys who just sit around and criticize people all day. Don't you have something better to do? Don't you have something better to do than pick on somebody's faults? Hey, man, I'll just let that go. We just waste so much time on stupid stuff. We really do. God's got so many other things for us to be doing. Getting together and griping about people and griping about situations. I hope your Thanksgiving wasn't sitting around the table griping about people. That was worth the price of admission today. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. So go ahead and gripe. Because while you're griping at your table, there's 100 people griping about you. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life, and you'll find life given back. But not merely given back. See, this is how God does things. Given back with bonus and blessing. Don't you want to be on the wheel of fortune and be in the bonus round? Don't you want to get beyond the guy spinning the wheel saying, "Come on, big money, come on, big money"? And it's good, and you might win some things, and you're going to have a lot of fun, and what's his name, Pat, can, you know, hold your hand and put his arm around you. All, I mean, that's good, but don't you want to go to the bonus round? I'm trying to bring you up to the bonus round. Where the excitement is. And every day is a bonus. And every day you wake up and say, "This is a day I can bless people. This is a day I'll be like God and give. This is a day that I'll love people. This is a day that I choose to forgive. This is a day that I choose to talk well of people. This is a day I choose not to say what I'm thinking." If you can't say something good, see, we just live, you don't realize how much it affects us, the world we live in. It's just full of selfishness. And it's just fed by the media. And again, the whole deal is they're trying to get your money. And that's why what I'm talking about today is so contrary. And then if you get wrapped up in the world system, if you get wrapped up in the world system, you're going to go with them. But how many know it doesn't matter if there's recession or depression or famine or what's happening in the world, you're operating in God's system, you're going to get God results. You can be in prison. Joseph was in prison, and God blessed him and favored him. You can be in a desert. You ever find yourself in a desert? Just look to God, and God, you know, He'll bring water. He'll give you a seed. If you're in famine, I mean, we got biblical examples. He'll bless you in famine. But see, you know, whose eyes are you on? If your eyes are on Him, then you can give fearlessly. If your eyes are on Him, you can give, be generous, even if you feel like you don't have enough. How many know there's gifts that are bigger than money? How many know there's gifts of your time, gifts of your presence? I mean, how much is one of Martha's cakes worth? They're priceless. Martha, those are labors of love. Each bite is little labors of love. Sometimes a kind word, something spoken. Kay Fox is now in heaven, told me this story one time, and you know, it just shows you how good God is. She was sitting in before we, you know, this. She was a part of the previous church that was here, and she was sitting over there one day, and she was just feeling sorry for herself. You ever feel sorry for yourself? You ever have a pity party? You ever feel down? Ever get discouraged? I see a lot of heads. Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling down today, Pastor. Will you come and hug me? I'm giving out hugs today after service. And if you can't wait, just raise your hand and I'll come hug you right now. But Kay's sitting over there. She's just feeling, you know, down and discouraged. And Kay is a real... She's in heaven. I won't say was, but she is. She's just an up person. A lot of adversity in her life, but really positive, amazing. So, but she was down this particular day and she just didn't feel loved. And you know, and she couldn't hear the sermon and all the things that happened, couldn't praise God, and wasn't even excited about giving because she's a giver. Her and Bruce are just givers. And she's just down at the end of the service. She's just walking out of church really just sad. You ever just, you know, you can just see them on, and they're down. And she's walking out of church, and she comes, you know, near this, right over there. And someone that she doesn't even know comes up to her and says, "This is kind of strange, but the Lord told me to tell you something. He wanted you to know that you are loved." I mean, isn't that amazing? The person that didn't even know her, and she's like, "Did that mean anything to you?" Kay just starts crying, laughing. So, I mean, it is financial seeds, but it's just a life of giving. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. I want to live in a continual flow of God's harvest and blessing. A continual flow of resources in my hand. And if I'll do that, I'll live above any recession, any famine, any depression. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And these are some of the verses I've read over the last 30 years of being a believer. I've maybe read these verses maybe 1,000 times. And they still minister to me, still bless me every time I read them. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, Amplified, says this: "Remember this." You need to remember this. "He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly." Sparingly is just like, you know, I got some change in my pocket. I got some change to spare. You ever maybe have a homeless person or something say, "Do you have a dollar that you can spare?" Or maybe you're walking by into Kmart or Walmart or wherever it is, and you see the Salvation Army thing, and "I got a dollar, I can spare it." It doesn't really even mean anything to you. It's just like, you know, some spare change. Sparingly, grudgingly is like you give it, but, you know, it's like difficult to let go of. But you do it that way, you'll reap sparingly and grudgingly. But he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. I like that. And with blessings. You'll reap with blessings. Verse 7, let each one give as he has made up his own mind. See, this is something you decide on the offerings. You decide. You make up your own mind and purpose in your heart. Not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. Don't you love it when your kids just do things and are selfless and generous and are a blessing? Doesn't that just bring joy to your heart as a parent? How much more does that bring pleasure to our Heavenly Father? When we do things, we're not asked. The tithe, it's the tenth, it's His. But when we get over into offerings, this is in our territory. This is our decision. We make the decision. We purpose in our hearts. And if we begin to do it with joy, and just to, you know, and not even to have to see any result from any person, but this, just the joy that it gives us, He prizes us above other things, unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in His giving. See, when you're giving things to people, you're giving of yourself. You're giving life. And then verse 8, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. Now, is this in the Bible, or am I just kind of making this up? Is this the Matt Judd translation? This is the Word? And God is able to make all grace. And so if He says it, I believe it. I may not be experiencing all right now, but I'm expecting it. I'm calling it in. I'm believing for this. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances, in whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. I don't know, that sounds pretty good. That sounds to me like that's a good life to live. That sounds to me like the abundant life over in John 10:10. See, and good things happen to you, but you never get your eyes on any of it. And you don't really even need it. But God just does it because He loves you. He takes care of you. He meets your needs. And then not only that, He meets the desires of your heart, things that you don't even realize He does for you. He is so good. He just wants to bless you in every area. As we'll begin to just trust Him and just get out there and be a blessing every day. And it's difficult. Some days are just hard. Some days you just get so wrapped up in the world. So wrapped up in worldly things and all the problems. But you know what? The best way I know out of a problem is to give. The best way to get out of a discouragement is to bless someone else. Whenever I'm not feeling well on a Sunday morning, you know what I preach on that Sunday? Healing. I'm going to sow healing. Sow it. Bless people. And He always just brings it back to you. Pressed down. Shaken together. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Living in the bonus time. How many like bonuses? So every day you can wake up and say, today is bonus day. But you know, it gets, and this is the hard part, is you're the bonus for someone else. Don't you love that? When someone else has a need and they've been praying and believing God and God uses you. Isn't that awesome? Don't you love that? You give them a certain amount of money and they were believing for that amount of money. It's just supernatural. It's miraculous. I'm working with God. I'm bringing God's plan and God's will. I'm a part of Philippians 4:19. Sure, my God shall supply all my needs, but He's helping me fulfill that in someone else. All right, we're going to get over into the third level of giving. And you couldn't preach this many places, but you could preach it at Good News Church. My parents traveled with the Catholic Church. They went to 200 churches. 200 churches and spoke on tithing. And they brought tithing to these churches that had never heard the message. So here at Good News Church, we've heard about tithing. We've heard about offerings. But the third level of giving, you've done it probably, but you maybe not have anybody talk about it. We may have not talked about it very much. But I think we're ready to be thinking a little bit more about this third level. I know that I am right now. I know the church is. I've been having such fun before the Sunday services. I've been writing checks to other ministries before service time. That's why I come in smiling. Because it's fun. And I know they're going to use those resources to reach other people. They're going to take those resources and go places I can't go, but our resources can go. So you start getting wrapped up because you see you're part of God's plan. You get excited about lost people being saved. You get excited about getting people healed. And disciples being raised up. And going to places that have never heard the gospel. But let's read 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, message. Let's read this now. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. Who here is stingy? A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over. Make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in his giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As the psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the wind, given to the needy in reckless abandon. I love that. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. The most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something that you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Your giving causes other people to praise God. But the word I want you to focus on, and this is the third level of giving. Talk about tithes. Talked about offerings. Extravagant giving. Extravagant giving is over and above the over and above. Over and above the over and above. The word extravagant means lacking restraint in spending or using resources. It's exceeding what is usual or appropriate. It means to diverge. When you get down to the basic of the definition of the word, to diverge from your normal course when you're extravagant. Let's look over in Mark chapter 12. And it's just one of those stories from the Bible that I just love so much. Mark 12, verse 41, and I'm reading from the Message translation. It says, sitting across from the offering box, talking about Jesus, he was observing how the crowd tossed money in for the collection. Tossed it. Spare change. Tipping God. This is what I can afford. Many of the rich were making large contributions. One poor widow came up and put in two small coins, a measly 2 cents. So you know, offering counters, even those pennies in there are precious. A penny. A measly 2 cents. Jesus called his disciples over and said, the truth is, this poor widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. Explain that to me. You mean more than the $100,000 check? More than the $10,000 check? Whatever it was? How does that make any sense? All the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly. She gave over and above the over and above. And what that was 2 cents. What she couldn't afford, she gave her all. And, you know, Susie and I, we tithe every Sunday. That's just the way we do it. I know everybody does it differently. We tithe every Sunday. We bring offerings on Wednesday. And we do other offerings for other things that happen. But, you know, I can look back on in times of our lives when we gave extravagantly. I can think about that offering that we made back when we were in school at ORU. And we brought that $1,000 to the Victory Christian Center building fund. Remember that, Susie? You about to cry too? We were so excited. We were scared. And it was one of those things where, you know, you bring it over to the church because they needed it by midnight. And we brought that. Remember that? We brought that over together. And how excited we were in the car going over there and bringing that. And we just felt like something awesome was happening in our lives. And really, I think about that. That's how we started our marriage, you know, to give like that. And I think about other times that I don't feel like I've really had a service until I make Susie cry. So we're having service. I think about how when we started Good News Church, we had saved $5,000. $5,000 that we were saving to build a house. You know how difficult it is to, you know, a young couple to save money and put money away. We saved it. We had plans. Oh, I can show you those plans if you want to see them. I still have them. It was some kind of house. Bought a lot and all the different things and going to build our house. But you know, just sometimes things just happen. Lord began to deal with us about Good News Church. And we took that $5,000 and put it into the church early on to help us get through until it could, you know, support ourselves. And then we saw God do amazing things. But you know what? Sitting here today, I would rather have put that in the church than have that house. Because of what God has done in these last 17 years in people's lives, it's worth every penny, and it's worth more than that. I know we gave into this building here because we looked at this building as a net. Not trying to build any kind of kingdom for Matt and Susie Judd, but as a net to reach more people. And he wanted us to move out this way and everything like that. And we made some outlandish pledge towards that thing, and we had no earthly idea how we were going to do that. And we started giving to that, and it's like I to this day do not know where that money came from. But I think about the needs that we would have that I didn't know. Education, medical things, other things that happened, all this I didn't know. But he gives you, if you have a heart to give, he'll give seed to you. You know, let's look at in the Bible, certain seeds that have been sown. You could look at David. David sowed billions of dollars. Extravagant offering that he made for the temple to be built. Solomon was only supposed to sacrifice one bull to the Lord. He went ahead and sacrificed 1,000. And they had 40 years of prosperity in that kingdom, unlike any in history. Just a heart to give, a heart to be a blessing. How about Abraham? That's a pretty extravagant offering there to bring his son Isaac to the place to be sacrificed. That's pretty extravagant. I'd say that's about giving your all, because it's one thing to give your life, but to give your son's life, Sounds like somebody else that we know, doesn't it? How about God? You know, the whip wasn't stopped before it hit Jesus. The nails weren't stopped before they went into Jesus. The spear wasn't stopped that went into his side. And you know, and it says that it pleased God to bruise him. What extravagant love. Because it's Jesus' blood is the only thing. Gold, silver, all the planets wasn't enough to redeem us. Only the blood of Jesus could pay the price for our sins. For God so loved the world. You need to get a revelation of that. He's an extravagant God. I think about Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. Not even in covenant with God, but somehow he's following God and he's giving alms and he's praying. He's not even allowed in the synagogue. He's a Gentile. But he's given alms. He's given extravagantly. God moves on Peter hours away, moves on him in his prayer time to go to Job, you know, to go to Cornelius and brings him the gospel. His family gets saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit and really opens the door for the gospel to the Gentiles. Extravagant giving. So I'll just throw that out here. And again, we can only, Pastor, we're in a recession. Don't you know how jobs are scarce and all the things that are happening? And I just can't afford to give like I used to and afford to do these things that I used to do. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a lie. In your glory days of giving, and I'm not talking about giving to Good News Church, but I'll just say this, your glory days of giving are not in the past. The best that He has for you, I don't care where you're at, the best that He has for you is in your future. But we have to start where we're at, and we have to start with our willingness and our openness to Him. And you can get in the habit of just going through the motions. I know, we write this check on Sunday, we write this check on Wednesday, and the guest minister comes, and we do this amount. This is what we can afford, and we do this, and we do this, and but I tell you, there's different times in your life, and I feel like for me, I'm just speaking for myself, and I'm speaking for this church. There's different times and seasons where you need to be extravagant. Because God is taking us somewhere, and you know, this is not the only part of it, but part of it is sowing a seed. And so it's a time. And again, it can be financial. It can be time. It can be other things. Gifts. Giftings on the inside of you. But it's a time to look at things because I think it's a time to be extravagant in our giving. Because I feel like God, I feel like there's breakthroughs for this church. I said the other day, it's a new day. I think this message is a part of that. It's a new day. He's got things for us to do. He places the word to go. So it's something that I want you to pray about and think about. And then we'll close here with this part with 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Is our screens down? Who's got the message translation? Because I don't have the rest of my notes. Anybody here have the message translation? 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Message. Look at you, Susie. Tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage. To do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. Over and above. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life.